end with the chalk tease, but look, start with a rim job. See where it goes from there. That's all I'm saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast
with your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And we're very special guest,
Philip.
Yay! Is this the first time in like a month we've had all of us together? Yeah. Or was there a spacer in there somewhere?
It's been 2 weeks. That's
at least, though. But James was gone for a few weeks before then.
No, he came. He was back for...
That's what I'm wondering. Like, did we have a spacer one with the three of us? Or has it just been like we swapped James for Salsa?
Do you remember if when you came back I was here for a weekend or not?
You were not...
Okay, so
question mark.
I'm sure the internet knows.
Okay. So anyway, yay! It's the three of us.
We are all
and
here.
We also have a guest.
Yes. And we also have booze.
Yeah. Wait, do we talk about the booze first and then the guest, or do we talk about the guest and then the booze?
Booze.
All right.
Why is this only half empty? What are you doing?
That's a good question.
Seriously.
I thought we would want like a sample.
We're going to sample.
We're going to sample.
We're going to sample all of it.
Oh, we're going to sample.
I don't
That's
want any
left. That's my fucking kind of sample. I don't...
Seriously.
All right.
So these Look, were left right. on the bar, which is the best kind of booze.
Right.
These are, what are these called? These are buzz balls.
Nice.
Mixed buzz drinks. Balls. And they are supposed to be reminiscent of Christmas ornaments.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
they're
roundish.
They are Christmas ornament sized balls.
You can actually turn this into an ornament.
I've got bad news for you.
It's 200 milliliters.
Coconut.
Is it actual coconut or coconut flavoring?
I don't know.
Because
that's a good question.
Coconut something. All I saw was coconut.
Oh, and the second one does have cream in it, so we should probably be aware of this one.
I'll do the cream anyway. All right. I don't even care.
But they are 200 milliliters.
Where the hell did you see
little balls
on the front.
They're supposed to be reminiscent of Christmas ornaments, I was told by the person who gave it to us.
Yeah.
They
do look like Christmas ornaments.
Look at the little tabby thing. You've got the tab, and now you can put the hook there, and you can hang it on a tree.
The thing is the names of these mixed drinks are pretty great.
All right.
We're going to start with Strawberry Rum Job, which is rum with strawberry and banana juice, coconut cream, and natural flavors.
Just
added.
Shy of grapefruiting on
so
the
So about
scale
like
of...
three things that I'm allergic to, including the one that makes me wish I was dead.
Probably.
Let's try this shit.
I mean, that's right. kind of the way we do things around here.
Look, I've been doing new and daring things this week, so let's
be fearless.
See if coconut's going to kill me again.
All right.
Fuck it.
Some lawn chairs.
Oh, that's really good, actually.
Oh my god, yeah.
Huh.
Like, I kind of was afraid that this was going to be one of those.
I'm waiting to see if there's any burning. Hold on.
Jenna had a date like
that. That might actually be coconut.
Okay.
Do you need us to distribute the rest?
Yeah, distribute the rest of that,
right.
just in case.
Let's get.
We'll
Jenna
see if I'm doubled over later.
Or something while we.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we should
actually. Do we have Fireball or a fire whiskey? Because that's really what I want right now.
We've got some corn moonshine.
Oh fuck yeah!
There we go.
Hook me up with that bullshit.
Evenly in thirds.
This makes me think there's that office joke about there's that soda that's going around that's that Japanese soda that's
should we
flavored,
raise that glass
like,
out for you?
No.
Flavored half coconut, half penis.
That's what she's doing right now.
I'm kind of thinking this is what it would taste like.
Probably.
I also shouldn't have
which
peanuts,
half of the penis?
near the balls. Just saying.
The hilt.
The outside.
Oh my god.
The
Dick
outside.
Hilt is like the best new D&D character
oh,
name
shit.
Ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I just found my porn name.
Right.
Dick Hilt.
Yes.
Good
oh
Sir Dick Hilt.
Oh my god, yes.
Good Sir Dick Hilt.
Oh my god.
Would you hither yawn to
you
the...
Would you the door hither yawn
to the...
to a nunnery?
To the mounds of...
Whoa.
I mean...
Whoa.
I like where it's going so far.
To the mounds of Nepal.
What?
Look, I barely know Paul.
And our special guest, Andrew Bennett Lowe.
Yes.
That guy's here.
It's been a while. Who is, now that we have gotten booze out of our system, into our system.
Oh, I can't decide if the coconut banana peanut thing that's trying to kill me is better or worse than the corn whiskey.
To the hilt.
It says it doesn't have anything that's going to try to kill me, but...
It's straight up corn whiskey.
I'm not so sure.
I will give you...
No, I'm drinking it. Salsa, get your ass back here. I'm drinking the goddamn motherfucker.
I have a whole goddamn bar here.
I'm going to bitch about it, but I'm going to drink it, all right?
You have to understand that's her favorite part of the drink.
I tell you what
we'll do.
The bitching,
yeah.
Is we will let Jenna keep bitching while James tells us what he's been up to.
What I've been up to?
I mean, you have been, you know, busy.
Yeah.
Right?
Mostly work stuff. I've been doing a lot of writing recently. I've been writing roughly one short story a week.
Excellent.
And the thing is, I can only do the sort of the first blush editing right away, and then I just have to not fucking look at it for a while.
Right.
Because then you just start pulling it apart.
You need to forget about it and then look at it fresh.
So then I can come back. Because, you know, once you've knitted the scarf, you go, oh, fuck, I fucked up that part. Like, way back, I'm going to pick everything out. I'm just going to go back to yarn and fucking start from you can only do that maybe once. And then afterward, you just go, I'm going to set this down. Later, you come back and you go, oh, I hardly notice it.
Right.
Right. And
I hardly notice it because of this big flaw over here.
Right. Right. And I need that perspective, is what I'm saying. So I am actually writing as a way to keep myself from editing my previous work right now.
Nice.
But no, I'm well satisfied with it. It's part of a kind of a not only a goal that I have for myself that I'm going to publish within 2018, but then the other part of that is that I'm challenging myself to write stories based on a series of prompts and getting a sort of a personal place in a thing. A type of a story, a type of job or a name or something like that, and then an object. And it's number one, it's really fascinating to see what people come up with. And then I love making a story specifically for someone based on what they've asked. And it's fun. But I feel bad sort of handing them this lifeless bird of a story. Like, here. Oh, it didn't survive incubation. But then, you know. Or like, I just rewatched the movie Batteries Not Included. Has everybody seen that?
Oh my God, Johnny Five Not Alive.
A different one.
Different one.
Similar. That's, that one is Short Circuit.
That one, okay,
Batteries
right.
Not Included is the one with the little flying saucers.
With the little, like, Roomba-looking guys.
Yeah. And one of them is
and the old lady
stillborn.
That's, like, fucking batshit. Yeah.
And then somebody, like, takes extra care of it and manages to resuscitate it. And that's how I feel about my stories, is that they sort of flop out, not moving. And then after some intense love and labor, maybe a spark happens. So
what kind of stories? What are you writing about?
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. Sci-fi, folktales, fantasy.
So like folktales, adaptations of existing folktales or original folktales?
No, brand new stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Brand new stuff, which is one of my favorite things. And I find that a lot of the stories, no matter what, sort of end up being kind of... and the moral of the story is, you know, I've come to terms with it. It's fine. I'm always fascinating. I'm always fascinated.
I'm always fascinated.
No, I'm always a little drunk but I'm always fascinated to see where the story goes. Like, even though I drop the little capsule into the water and I know it's going to be a T-Rex, it's still fun to watch that happen. Usually I don't
know. Got it. It's called a metaphor, Salsa.
Yeah.
You drop capsules and they turn into T-Rexes. Why are you getting hung up on this?
Seriously,
did they not have that level of science in South Dakota? Did you never have the little gel capsules that you drop into water and then the foam animal comes out?
Oh, those. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right.
He was too busy milking the cows before sunrise or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, if a foam animal came out of that, there was a problem. The little that nod. Look. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's true.
Look,
that's
correct. If they did, they didn't start as a capsule.
That's also true. Ooh, oh.
Whoa.
Yeah, but I've been enjoying the writing process, even though I tried once to do NaNoWriMo and just could not do the next novel.
I tried for 3 years in a row and cried every year about the fifth day in. This isn't for me.
There's a reason that's a thing, is because it's brutal.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
I do have a NaNoWriMo shirt. I thought that would encourage me. It just happens to be one of the coolest shirts I own now.
Oh, sure.
But because it's like a stack of books with like a quill. And it looks super fucking awesome. And it's like all off the side.
But you haven't earned that shirt.
I didn't earn that shirt. I paid for that shirt, motherfucker.
Did you try real hard?
I tried kind of hard.
Well, then you kind of earned it.
Trying.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll go with trying.
We'll say you earned it in aggregate.
I tried really hard for the first 3 days. Okay. Kind of hard for the next, like, 6 or 7.
You had a date, like?
Oh, God.
Once?
Once.
Okay.
Whatever.
That's what I've been up to, is a lot of personal projects, because watching the Blinken lights overnight, things aren't always on fire.
Cool.
What?
Which is somewhat relaxing and fun.
That sounds amazing.
Yay!
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that's
like. No, I remember.
Aww. if you didn't know, Philip, I'm going to get you caught up. They used to work at the same place, and James has since moved on to a better place.
I'm not here right now. I'm actually dead.
That sounds like a euphemism. Something
super weird happened to me. I was driving in the middle of the night past a graveyard over in Frogtown, and I saw these like shimmering flashes above the ground in the graveyard, and I was super freaked out.
Right.
And I was like, what does that look like? That doesn't look like anything. Like that, it's... But there's no recognizable shape, and it's moving super fast. Right. And I was like, it's kind of keeping up with me.
Oh, God. I got it.
Streetlights on the passenger side of the car reflecting. Off of the highly polished gravestones, but only the ones that were at the correct angle, which were way in the back. All of the ones close were turned... And they were angled. They were wrong for the
son of a bitch.
So it was just the ones in the back, and I was just catching these little like flashes of the reflection of very specific lights off of specific gravestones.
So you're saying it was chupacabra?
What's that Mexican goat eating lizard? chupacabra? Yeah, chupa thingy. Got a ring to it. Thank you, Rooster Teeth.
Anything else?
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Cool. Jenna?
Oh my God, I've been doing all of the things. On Thursday, I saw Arwa at the Improv, which was hilarious. And seriously, you guys, you should all go.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little lighter attended, I think, just because of the holidays surrounding it. But fucking go to that shit, because it was incredible. Mm. Arwa at the Improv, do that. And then I'm like... Trying to go through. Let's see, what did I do Friday? I did
a thing. Mental Rolodex.
I bet my calendar knows. I thought I had this all memorized. It was super important. Oh yeah, I was at Can Can Wonderland.
Woo!
All night long, because
super important, guys.
It was at 7 o'clock. There was Jester Comedy Improv, which was fucking hilarious. And then at 9 o'clock. Bob Alberti and I got to be the local celebrity guests for the retro game show night. And
which I've been hearing amazing things about.
Oh my God. It was stupid fun. Everybody ate that shit up. Like, Seriously. Yeah,
there is a reason that...
Oh,
the,
my God.
There is a reason that the Ville game show night has been a sellout every year.
Yeah, every year. We have
People
to do...
love that.
We have to do two shows that weekend and sell the fucker
and
out.
And now we're doing it all the fucking time at Can Can Wonderland, which you should go to.
So, yeah, we did Family Feud. One of my families won, one of my families lost. I don't remember the third. I was drunk by that point.
like then, family, yeah.
Right, yeah. It was like any holiday.
It was like Thanksgiving all over.
I also got to play Password, which is a game that I had never played before.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking owned
nice.
That shit.
it's like a verbal
like,
charade.
By the end
like
of
that.
It, I would say a word and the guy would guess it. And we would high five. The last person I played with, we got all five of them. Like right off the bat. Yeah.
She had a mystery date like that once.
Yeah, I'm going to, on a slight tangent, and then let you get back to it. It
cool.
pertains directly with this. But I was actually contacted by Tim saying, hey, could you run tech for this show on Friday?
Right.
And I was like, no, I can't do that because I'm doing a show in Fergus Falls. And he was like, oh, yeah. So am I. I should have known that.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
So, anyway.
So Baba Birdie is convinced I'm telepathic now, and I'm not willing to tell him otherwise. Like, I feel like
not
this
out
is a
loud.
Good...
Bob, I'm not telepathic.
This is a good edge to have over
you don't
him,
ask for
I
the
think.
Mind, you take the mind.
And then...
Say the whole thing.
After the retro game night, which was, seriously, it was a hoot. Everybody had a good time. Ken Ken Wonderland provided
like being
prizes.
The king?
Like the owl king? Baby owls?
No.
But everybody had a fantastic time. Ken Ken Wonderland provided prizes.
Yeah.
Which
oh,
was
that is...
super
whoa.
Awesome. Like, there was a guy that, like, played a game and got four passes for mini golf.
Holy shit.
Pretty much everybody that played got drink tickets.
Oh, yeah, performing
like,
there.
Yeah.
That's
no, I don't
awesome.
Mean performing.
No,
I mean audience volunteers, though. Let me stay on my topic for a second. Audience volunteers got these things. But my favorite prize area was he started off with, let's make a deal. And one of the bags, I found out later, one of the bags had, like, there was a fucking water bottle with Ken Ken Wonderland logo and, like, four golf, a bunch of drink tickets, fucking something at the concession stand, a thing of quarters, like, just fucking go out and have the night of your life. And the other one had stuffed animals in it.
Aww.
Nice. I'm like, oh.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I
so
fucking
that
love
was,
that place.
That was super fun. I fucking love
yeah,
it
no,
there.
Yeah, no, they take care of people.
Yeah.
That is also an amazing date location.
What I was...
Yeah, it is.
Because I did the talent show, the competition thing that they... Where they get four acts to come in, and just by showing up, they give you $25.
Yeah.
And if you win, you get $100.
For their talent show.
So they pay people.
Yeah, they do.
For performing. Yeah. Whether you're a performer or you win their game shows or whatever, Can-Can actually cares.
The little Porter voice.
I know. Right.
I know we haven't had this conversation before, Phil. Maybe we should.
By the way, the little Porter voice in the back of my head said, talent show, huh? What were you doing there?
Yeah, exactly.
I believe that. Yeah. But then, after the game show thing, was Tipsy Kangaroo's Naughty Puppet review. And
fuck yes.
It was hilarious.
Awesome.
My favorite moment of that was I was sitting next to John Newstrom and Jason Kruger. And
oh, good God.
And at one point in the middle of this thing, they're like, okay, so this next improv game is going to have one of our people reading from a script and the other person improvising. the scripts that we will be reading from will be chosen by you, the audience.
Oh.
However, all of these scripts were written by Tim Wick. And John and I, who met, by the way, through Highlander the Musical, which was a Tim Wick script, we both kind of looked at each other and went, all right. And then Kruger's over there, like, he's been in a couple of Wick scripts, and he's like, this is going to go poorly. And they start to read off the list, and John's like, directed that one. Directed that one. Directed that one. And then I was like, directed that one. Like, it was just this wonderful back and forth kind of moment. And Kruger's like, I was in that one, buddy. And they ended up doing the script from And to Think That I Saw It on Baker Street, which is, of course, a script that John Newstrom directed and Jason Kruger played the Cat in the Hat in, among other characters.
Yep.
And the lines that they read from that script were, in fact, Jason Kruger's lines. And we are in the booth dying. This is so personally hilarious to us.
I mean,
what they were doing on the stage was incredible with it. Like he had a goal that he had to get to, but, like, it was fantastic, but it was not nearly as good for the rest of the audience as it was for us.
So every producer slash director has kind of their go-tos, and I feel like this is like the singularity of the go-tos. It's come to a head.
Seriously, like, I spent the night at Can Can Wonderland. I got free drink tickets because I was a local celebrity guest. I played some pinball. I played a bowling thing. What?
Name dropper.
My own?
Yeah.
Jenny Young.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. Welcome to Downtown The Joke.
I don't
Population, no. All of us.
Population, not me.
Not
it.
You. That's
not
for sure.
No. No. So anyway, I spent very limited amounts at Can Can throughout the evening seeing shows because I was a performer and getting free drinks because I was a performer and... I spent money on my loaded dog, which was incredible. And I spent money on pinball machines and, like, this little bowling Buckets. Thing, which I totally won. right? I also played whack-a-mole. That was delightful, you guys. But, yeah, it was an entire night. And I had entertainment. I had booze. I had food. I had more forms of it was incredible. And I highly recommend just a night out to Can Can Wonderland.
Hot shit. I feel like those moles didn't know what they signed up for when they...
Oh, they knew. They knew what they did.
Yeah, they did.
They know what they did. No, I will absolutely second that. Every time I've been to Can Can has been a grand old time.
Oh, my God, yes. It's,
like I said, they care about their performers, and they've just got amazing shit going on all the time.
Okay, so I'm going to skip what I did Saturday real quick, because I'm pretty sure we're going to come back to that.
Yep.
Sunday, I went to the Improviser of the Year award ceremony.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was delightful. A few of my favorite improv groups performed that night. But what they do in between is that they select the Improviser of the Year, wherein you nominate yourself, right? Like, you just write your name on a slip of paper and you put it in a bucket. And then names get drawn from the bucket. The Improviser of the Year award goes to... Jenna Young. And so then you go on stage, and the game is you have to find a reason to decline the award and pull the next name.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this going into it. I was told to put my name in a bucket, and I went, cool. And then afterwards, I was like, so what's this for? And somebody explained it to me, and I went, well, shit. Like, there was this guy that had, like, a PowerPoint presentation. There was a video from Shay, because she couldn't be there that night. There was I know, right?
Yeah, no, this is a bit. This is
huge. Like, everybody, it's the one time improvisers script their shit. And it was just this thing. And I'm like... So I went up, James, you would have been so proud. I went up there and I talked about how I couldn't accept the award because I was a fraud. I started doing improv under a misunderstanding. You see, I was having a hard time making ends meet, and so I thought maybe I'd start a cleaning service. And I saw this flyer that said that it would teach me how to sweep a stage. That it was the wrong sweep of stage. So,
God damn it.
So
I love how long that took.
Yeah.
I am not a clever man.
So, yeah, and then I went into, I'm going to go follow my lifelong dream of being a cleaning lady. Your actual improviser of the year is such and such. I came up with that. about 3 minutes before I get on stage and accept my award.
Nice.
Oh, that's the most improv I've done in years, you guys. Like, shit, man. But
and
no,
you won
it was
an award for it. So
I've got a little plastic trophy thing, and because everybody gets this little plastic trophy for being improviser of the year.
Yep.
Yeah. It's hanging out next to my computer now. Like,
it's an honor to be
self-nominated. You won a bullshit award. Yeah. Well done. That was super fantastic, and it was their seventh or eighth year doing it, and it was my first time going. And
the stories are legendary.
I can't even believe. Lounge Lizzie was there.
Yep,
performing, and they were phenomenal. I feel like I have to go to pretty much as many Lounge Lizzie performances as possible.
Yeah.
Because Aaron keeps blaming me for Lounge Lizzie being a thing. And I'm like, I mean, it's you.
She's not wrong.
It's no, you yeah. doing your thing.
Right.
But I would be stupid not to accept some credit for this. So, yeah. they were fantastic. A bunch of other fun groups. And then yesterday, I had a date.
Like that once.
Oh my God, well you guys.
Done. Well done.
That was so beautiful. So let me back up for a second. I have not been on the dating scene. Like legitimately just like.
Since that
what
one
is it,
time.
On the market or some gross thing like that. But like, I have not been dating in like 10 years. I was with Bill for quite a long time, and then I just kind of fell into my next relationship. So I was not dating people at any point between then and now. And by now, I mean last night. And I had a date. And it was a wonderful date. It was absolutely delightful.
Did you go to Can-Can Wonderland?
We did not go to Can-Can Wonderland.
Should have gone to Can-Can Wonderland.
He made soup and we watched movies. It
Do you know
wonderful.
Why you should have gone to Can-Can Wonderland?
Why?
Because they serve True Stone coffee there.
Ooh. They do.
True Stone coffee.
They do. Are you guys about to fucking pimp True Stone during my first date story in 10 years, you goddamn ass? That's a decade, you motherfucker.
True Stone coffee.
That is more than half of my
Look,
life.
If it's been a decade since your last date, then you need some True Stone coffee.
And what better to wake up in a what better way to wake up in a stranger's apartment than with a
is this what you find out True Stone coffee has been orchestrating your love life for the past several years solely for this moment?
Not the whole orchestra. Mostly
that's a long con.
Mostly the woodwind section.
True Stone, we need to have a really in-depth conversation.
Anyway.
So I had a date. Like an actual date. So like I'm freaking out right beforehand because that's what you do, right? Like that's just a part of the process. So like I'm freaking out. I'm like, and Jessa was like, how you
they
doing, Mom?
Said yes. I mean
to the date. You don't know what else they're gonna say yes to.
Well,
right.
To the dress?
So I was hush. So I was freaking out. And I'm like, Jess is like, how are you doing, Mom? I'm like, And she goes, Mom, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna go out and you're gonna have a good time. It'll be fine.
Your daughter's way too old.
She is way too fucking old. I don't know which one of us is the adult, but it sure as hell isn't me. Like, she's just like, you're going to go out. You're going to have a good time. It'll be fine. I'll be here when you get back. Which, P.S. she wasn't because I got back early this morning. Thank you. Yeah. Then I got a text from my daughter. So, your door was open and I noticed you weren't in your room, so I told you so. Like, yep. I was like, yep, yeah. I got back about 10 minutes after you left. She's like, good. That's all I need to know.
Yep.
We're done now. We're
she is
done
the
now.
Parent in that relationship.
Right? Right?
Just please tell me you're being safe, she says.
Oh God. No, she knows I'm being safe. I mean, I love her. And yeah, I don't.
But you don't
the
need
the last
an,
thing
you don't
I need
another.
Right now is a baby when my child is an adult. That's and like she will legitimately be an adult in 6 months. So if I got knocked up like right now, I would be having a baby when my daughter was an adult.
Good thing you're perimenopausal.
That doesn't. I can still have babies when I'm perimenopausal, which sucks because now I'm paying for all of it and getting none of the benefits.
But not once she's over that cusp and is Perry Mason.
Because Perry Mason
working on it
did not get pregnant.
That's true.
Is this one of those drafts that sort of lays there until you come back to it and bring it back to life later?
Let's hope I never come back to this.
I will never watch Perry Mason the same way again.
Oh, my God.
If I can stop Salsa from masturbating during Perry Mason, then my work is done.
You will never be able to get me to stop masturbating watching Perry Mason. Or Ironside, for that matter.
So anyway, and then I did some stuff on Saturday, but I don't want to keep talking at this point. I just kind of want to leave.
Look, Raymond Burr's
cool.
Chin is...
No. Oh,
a crease
God.
Is what he's saying. Raymond Burr's chin is a crease.
Oh, God.
So, Jenna.
Yeah.
That you got, that's what you got?
I had this thing on Saturday, but I feel like you would probably be the most appropriate person.
I purposely went last because I'm gonna try to get through 3 weeks as soon as possible. Going all the way back to Thanksgiving.
I suppose I could.
As the Earth's crust cooled.
I know, right? So really quickly, Thanksgiving was awesome. For Thanksgiving on the actual Thanksgiving day, we had Friendsgiving, in which we had a few people over, and it was a grand old time. We started doing kind of an orphan friends Thanksgiving thing for people whose family lived out of state or
my family rejects
or
me.
Did not get along
or
with
I reject
or,
them
you know things like that, and it's kind of grown over the years, but that's always a good time. And then we had various Thanksgivings with my wife's families. My family is not living in the state, so it's more difficult to see them, but I still had a good time. And then, so that's the shortest Thanksgiving recap I'm sure you had of the three of us.
I actually talked about it quite a bit the weekend after, so we're probably fine.
Exactly. So then, jumping forward to the 1st of December, the reason I have been gone for the past few weeks, Mystery Lodge.
What?
Over in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Which is
Fergus
about,
Falls, Minnesota.
Which is about 3 hours from here. Mm. It's past St. Cloud. And
Jesus.
Yeah, it was huge, like fucking huge. It's one of these hotel / conference like halls, and they've got one of those, you know, the like modular conference halls where it's like three conference rooms, but then they take the walls away and you've got the one big. They had the entire fucking room, like. All of this space. So this was a gigantic space.
God damn.
They sold over 300 tickets to this thing. I think they had like 35 tables, and then they had to add a couple more like last minute. This place was fucking packed with people. And then, like, so all of our blocking was, like, wrong. Like, because we got there, and we were like, okay, let's run a couple scenes. And there was a few times where we're like, you'd start talking, and then you'd still needed to take, like, five more steps before you finally hit your mark.
Because
instead of just being, doot-doot-doot, here I am, it's, all right, I'm going to go over to you. Okay, here I am. It was, like, a big fucking...
Oh, my God.
But the staff there was fucking incredible. Like, they pulled out all the stops to make sure that we felt welcome, and that, like, they fed us the same thing that they fed everybody else that bought a ticket. Like, not to knock the last place we were at, because I genuinely enjoyed the last place we were at, but we got the basic, like, chicken dinner. Like, chicken and rice. Everybody else got the, like, fancy meal, and we got, like, the basic staff meal. We got the full dinner at this place in Fergus Falls, including the red velvet cake dessert. So we had like pork chops and a mango sauce and like roasted squash and like Asiago mashed potatoes and this red velvet cake. And then when the show was done, this was a very nice touch. When the show was done, we got done, we did our improv set, we went back to the green room, and there was a stack of cold cut sandwiches.
Aww.
Just like this pyramid of cold cuts, like cheese and cold cuts, like these little sliders. And it was like, sweet, that's adorable. Yeah, it was great because we were, you know, adrenaline up and you know, that makes you hungry. And so it's like, here's a little snack to after the show. I was like, this is great. And in this show, I play the chef, and so I'm in and out of the kitchen a lot. And they were amazing in the kitchen. Like, they like were constantly making sure that you know, we weren't in each other's way, and they were just super, super nice to me while I was back there. And you know, it was after the whole thing got done, when we were, like, saying goodbye and everything like that, the like, head... like waitress person like gave me a hug and everything like that. It was like they were super sweet. I really, really hope that we do more shows there, because it was
Sounds fucking fantastic. They
really, really made us feel welcome. It's the first time I have ever heard the words, "I'm sorry, but we need to upgrade you to a suite."
Oh, son,
I know,
of a bitch.
It's just, it was awful.
Man.
So yeah, that was Saturday that was Friday night.
Okay.
And I cannot rave enough about, if you didn't make it to this show, you really missed out on this show.
Unless you were at Can Can Wonderland.
Yeah. And so we did the show, and then we had a little bit of a break, and then we did just a basic, like, double blind improv set, for the people that stuck around, and, you know, a good, like, 2/3 of them stuck around to watch that.
Nice.
A lot of fun. We had two new cast members in this one, because David and Kirsten, who were in the first version of this, now live in Seattle. So we had Eric Thompson take over David's role, and we had Haley Sisler take over Kirkie's role. And both of them did amazing. Just fantastic job.
Wonderful.
There was only like two or three flubs throughout the whole, and I don't think anybody in the audience really noticed.
Nice.
So... that was really good. And then I came home on Saturday morning, and then I went out to Khan's Mongolian Barbecue.
Yes.
Which is always a good time.
Oh my god, yes, I remember that.
Jenna was there as well.
My favorite restaurant in the Twin Cities.
Jenna was there as well. It was a good time.
I am a very tiny part Mongolian, so I feel like it's the only opportunity I get to
connect
with my heritage.
Jenna also ate more than anyone else at the table.
Look, you guys, I want you to picture this. I'm 5'2" and like 125 pounds. I had
I'm a 6 foot tall, like 210 pound dude, and I had two plates.
I had three full plates.
Jesus.
I full plates. And the fucking sticky bun afterwards. Yes. I'll take Lord. This. And I was still eyeing the kids' buns that they hadn't finished.
Yeah, when
I was
you were
like,
telling me this, I was like, what the fuck?
No, she was vacuuming it up.
That is totally my, if there's a special occasion coming up and people are like, where do you want to go eat?
Right.
It's Khan's Mongolian Barbecue for me.
Well, here's my thing with Khan's Mongolian. So I am a very tiny part Mongolian. And Khan's Mongolian Barbecue is a very tiny part Mongolian.
Accurate. Yeah.
So,
it is the.
I feel like it's my place, yo.
Khan's is the best Mongolian food cooked by Mexicans that you can possibly get in
Twin
cities.
Oh my god, yes.
It's true. It is absolutely true, though.
It is.
But anyway, so we did that because Saturday was my birthday, and so we went out to dinner, and then we went to a hockey game. And we went to see the semi-professional team, the Minnesota Magicians, play against the Cooley Region Chill. And for those of you who do not know, Cooley Region is kind of like the southern Wisconsin area.
Sure. I had no idea who we were playing.
The shape of the state makes it look like a cooler.
Sure.
That is a fucking lie. That is not true.
Obviously.
Anyway. Well, it's going on Wikipedia anyway.
So
will become the truth.
But we went to this hockey game, and the Minnesota Magicians trounced the other team 6-3. We had a super good night. We had probably what, a dozen people show up for that. James and Jenna were both there.
I ate two pretzels.
Yeah, you did. The thing that I've talked about this in the past, but I love it because it's $10 to go see.
Yeah. For me, really? It was $7.50.
Yeah, because I told you about that deal.
Yeah, you did.
But it's really reasonably priced tickets. You can usually find a package deal online. The one that made us discover this place in the first place was for $10 you could get a ticket and a beer. Ooh. So it's just like they've got sales on all the fucking time. And so this was a couple years ago we discovered them, and I've been doing this for my birthday ever since, because it's fun, because you get to go see actual legitimately good, like, these are people who are on the cusp of getting drafted to the NHL. Like, mm-hmm. they're just under professional. Mm-hmm. And so you get some really, really fantastic hockey for a really cheap price, and it's a small enough arena that you're really close. Like, you are on the glass. You can see everything that's happening.
Yeah.
And the mascot for the Magicians is phenomenal.
Oh, my God. I have such a crush on that guy.
He skates around and he does magic tricks for the kids during intermissions.
In a giant foam mascot costume, he's doing magic tricks.
Absolutely. And you guys, just keeping...
I'm interrupting for a second because I have a dick. So... I have for years had a thing for mascots, which is possibly the most embarrassing thing. It started in my early 20s when I was doing a parade for the Renaissance Festival.
Because they have a big head.
Yeah.
So it's a stepping stone to being a furry, is what you're saying.
It is. I've never made it quite to furry status. Like, I just... I don't,
if you're into furries and bobbleheads,
the Macy's Day Parade is very different.
But my very first mascot... Crush was the mascot for the Timberwolves, which is who?
Big Crush.
Crush.
Right.
Yeah,
they have
my
Crush's
first
autograph.
Mascot Crush was on Crush when we were both in the same parade, and Crush offered me some blow pop suckers down on a knee. I know. You guys.
This Timberwolf offered a young woman candy.
A blow pop.
Yeah. It's not how you earn your allowance.
Anyway. So we're at the hockey game. We're having a great time. And my mother-in-law is like, okay, for your birthday, do you want a, like, shirt or something like that? And I was like, cool. So we went into the lobby and we were like, you know, looking at all the merchandise, and you know, we're like, here's a t-shirt that I could have. And I was like, yeah, with and so I finally settled on the sweater that I'm actually wearing right now. Which is,
pause, that is not a sweater, that is a sweatshirt.
It is a hoodie. Really,
I am wearing a sweater. It is knit. Wearing a sweatshirt.
The residents of Prince Edward Island.
It has long
bunny
sleeves.
Hug.
I don't fucking care. It's got it's comfy and it's warm and it's actually really
bunny
really
hug.
like this is one of those super like fuzzy on the inside ones.
Ooh.
That is it hugs you and it's so happy.
Bunny hug.
But the thing is I was considering an actual t-shirt. And I was like, the only problem with the t-shirt is like, I don't know when I would wear a t-shirt with a hockey team on it, except in the winter, and then I'm usually wearing a hoodie or sweater over the top of it.
Sweatshirt.
So, I didn't say this one. I said I would be wearing one
of
those.
Do you own actual sweaters?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Oh!
So,
they also have hoods.
I believe that.
No.
I do actually have a sweater with a hood.
I hate them. I cannot stand wearing them, but I have them.
Okay.
Because they look really good on me, and I look snazzy in them, and my wife likes it when I wear that, and I get laid. Anyway.
All right. Checks out.
But, so I was looking at this t-shirt, and I finally went, no, I'm going to skip the t-shirt, and I'm going to go for this hoodie. And then, at the end of the game, after the game is done, they announce the three stars of the game. And what happens is the three stars of the game come out, and they skate over to the audience, and they throw prizes over the audience. And I snagged a t-shirt!
Woo!
Free t-shirt!
Yay!
So,
Happy birthday.
No, it was great. And the Wild one that night, too. So, like, it was just, I was having a fucking
over
blast.
The moon.
I was having a really, really grand old time on my birthday. And that was Saturday, and then That's really what I've got. Why don't we take a break, and then we'll talk to...
Wait, we're going to actually talk to our guests?
That's how we do things.
It is how we do things. We're like, we're going to ignore you for the first segment.
He's giving you tons of time we don't, to come up with the stuff that you're talking about in the second.
We want him to get comfortable with us.
To be fair, you get to understand the show and the pattern and stuff. Not that he really needs the time to do that. No. He's been on here like, what, five, 6 times?
The show is different. It's not...
Do, 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 do.
Like, not even close.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Are you high?
I'm not gonna say no.
Anyway, as I was saying, I think our guest has been here enough times, yes, but the show is different. It is not the same show.
It's real
different.
We now
have an asshole in orange shirt as opposed to an asshole in a black shirt. So.
That's true.
No neck tattoos.
No.
There's no neck tattoos.
I'm wearing a turtleneck right now. I might have a neck tattoo.
I could use this pen to artfully draw a
Please
little
don't.
Butt.
No.
Right.
No.
I think with that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Penn was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. button, who's got the button?
And we're back. Oh. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Phil.
Are you?
Are you sure about that? Best guess at this moment. It merely pleases me to behave in a certain way towards what appears to be a cat.
Wow. Someone actually got that reference?
The wisest
Holy
man
shit.
In the universe. Yeah, yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, I was braced for the blank stare. And, wow. Holy shit.
And he took the pencil out and experimented.
Okay, we are drinking Bud Light. We are having the chalk teas. Chalk teas. Which is their... vodka, orange wine, and cream with natural flavors.
That sounds really...
I'm having a little bit of this, too, because it sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think based on that name, this should taste nothing like chocolate.
It kind of tastes like
an Irish cream.
Oh, man. Oh, my God, yes.
Yep. That's mighty tasty.
Oh.
See, I'm disappointed. It delivers, which...
How dare it taste good.
Oh, some bitch. Yeah, that's a good bit of all right.
That's mighty tasty. Thank you so very much to my mother-in-law for giving. Mm-hmm. So, like we said,
which, by the way, Salsa, pause. These things have been staring at us for the past three fucking weeks waiting for you to get back.
I didn't realize that... I honestly thought that you guys had brought them.
No. Nope.
Because I was not in the bar for well over a week. Like, it was well past the point you guys had podcasted before I was in the bar again, and I saw these sitting on the bar, and I was like, oh, they must have brought these for...
Nope.
I figured James had brought them for a mixed drink or something like that. Because I just saw the little things sitting on the bar, and I didn't, like, pick them up and look at them. I was just like, oh, there's these weird things. I bet James brought these for a mixed drink or something. I didn't realize until my mother-in-law asked me about it a couple days ago.
Yeah.
She birthday. Was like, what about those things? And I was like, what? So.
Yeah.
I honestly had no idea. My life has been very, very busy the past few weeks.
Oh, so. me.
Yeah, terribly important.
Less about you, more about our
guest. Enough about me. Let's talk about our guest, because he is way more talented than the three of us put together.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, that's it's not difficult. I mean, that's not, it's not as much praise as it sounds, because the three of us put together is still pretty small.
Wait, I've got a good introduction for this guy.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so, a couple seasons back, Philip and I were part of a show called Disconnect. wherein I wrote a piece that was about the disconnect of language, basically. And I knew that I wanted to perform it with Philip, so I wrote Philip's part in his voice. And people thought he wrote it.
Yes. Nice. I got comments about my writing of that piece.
Right? And I am both sad and proud at the same time. No, I was like,
well done.
Nailed it. But nobody knows that it was me that nailed it. So awkward.
As a woman in IT, I feel like you're probably used to that.
I really am. Did you get good compliments on it?
Anyway? Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally. Excellent. Great. I'm glad to know that you're getting credit for my hard work. Cheers.
The circle of life.
So now Philip's going to talk about the amazing things that he does, and everybody will understand why that is such incredibly high priced.
Spoiler, a woman wrote it all.
I mean, I bet your wife helped some here. Somewhere.
Oh, a lot more than she'll ever do.
Excellent.
I'd be happy to credit her more, but she likes to not be visible.
Wise. She is also wise. She's married
actually
up,
in the
sir.
Room with us right now, isn't she?
Awkward. James? Is that you?
Anyway, no, so seriously, though, this is
well,
your...
When
no,
you said like, you had a beard.
She doesn't like to be visible.
So, Jay, this is your, what, third appearance on
Fourth,
this show?
Fifth, something.
I have no idea how often I've been here.
With our back catalog missing, the world may never know.
At least three.
I'm sure somebody gives a shit to know these things. But, yeah, so if you've been a listener of the show for a while, you have heard this voice before. So
you're welcome.
Yeah. So prepare yourself.
Ah, yes.
Seriously, what brings you to our fair show this time?
I'm mainly here to promote a book. I wrote another book.
Oh,
I think I was here to promote my last one at some point.
I don't think it was the last time, but I think it was the time before, perhaps.
But I done wrote another one that called Get Thee Behind Me, Santa, in Inexcusably Filthy Children's Time Travel Farce for Adults Only.
Yeah.
Jenna, hold it up to the microphone.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, let me get a good look at it.
You can all hear Philip carrying a cross staring at Santa. I love that it's up against a brick background,
with an
too.
Enigmatic... That's the Mill City Museum right there.
Oh. And holding a bottle of what I assume to be Jameson whiskey.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yes. I may have met you once or twice before, so...
Yes. The ever-present bottle.
This had a previous life as a show.
Oh my god, it's got illustrations!
Yes, it is a fully illustrated...
Well, it is a Christmas story. I mean...
Right?
You've got to have illustrations in a Christmas book.
Yeah, I should probably. This had an earlier iteration as a show that Jenna was in. As a matter of fact, I should warn you that some of the illustrations are based on the performers.
Oh my god! Wait, am I a picture?
Is Jenna in the picture? Is Jenna?
Hang on, let me.
Oh, we're gonna find. Okay, this makes.
There's
for
a
great
note in there.
Podcasting.
I've decided not to look for the note.
And,
It was a fun performance because it was a very Theater Arlo style where you're just
you can decide how much the Virgin Mary resembles you. There.
Not in the least.
Well, it's a virgin, so not much.
They nailed the glasses.
Yep.
Yeah, that part of her is no longer a virgin.
None of those parts are virgin anymore.
Whoa. Okay. So anyway, this book. Tell us about the book. It's Christmas. Book,
yeah, it is a Christmas book. It's about a blip in time where Santa and Jesus switch places and create a new timeline, and the efforts to correct that blip in the timeline.
So instead of walking on water, Jesus gave 40 fishes and 40 stuffed dolls.
Well, Santa does this shit. Santa is crucified.
That's what I'm saying. Santa turned 5 loaves and 2 fish into
a choo-choo train.
A choo-choo train and a doll.
I get the feeling that this is the go the fuck to sleep of children's Christmas books.
Meanwhile, Jesus is like hippie Santa.
Jesus does retain his powers in the other timeline.
Yeah.
He can still Santa's walk still on water.
Santa-y. So he can go down chimneys and then look at you through his stigmata.
Why did I get foot soap in my stocking?
Holy shit, you have a foreword by Joseph Scrimshaw.
I do, ooh. Yeah, he wrote the foreword.
Oh my god. I might actually have to read that.
I mean, just the foreword.
Some legitimate star power.
I'm only
power
reading the foreword. Honey, I've read the rest of this shit. I perform the rest of this shit, motherfucker.
So this book is based on a show that you did.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm asking, elaborate for the benefit of our listeners is where that was going.
I mean, it's based on a series of, this was when I was storytelling actively, and when you do that, you get asked to do a bunch of Christmas shows, so I wrote a bunch of parodies, and then because I'm a geek, I kept trying to, like, tie them together and build a continuity for them, and then like it turned into this at some point.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So it's essentially like each chapter is a parody of a different, like there's a bunch of Raymond Chandler hard-boiled parodies, there's a Night Before Christmas parody.
Should have been Raymond Burr, because Perry Mason.
I don't look like the little boy
Dead
in this
Perry
at
Mason.
All.
If you had made Perry Mason the Santa in there, then we would have been right where we need to be.
But as it is, we have to withdraw any endorsement.
Oh my god.
I should have consulted you guys. Harry May. Harry May, son of God.
Oh. In the performance of this that I was in, Matt Alex was also one of the
Never heard of him.
I know.
May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. That guy. Ugh.
So yeah, I don't know. I hope it's funny.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon.
If you haven't been there, yeah.
Order
it's
a copy.
It's on Amazon?
Yeah.
Both oh my god.
I mean, it's not hard to get on Amazon. It's like,
I know,
it's like being on iTunes.
Oh, okay,
like,
so no,
you can achieve.
I mean,
that.
No. Okay, no. How do you do this? Like, for serious.
There's two major self-publishing outlets, Lulu and CreateSpace. That
okay.
CreateSpace is Amazon's directly under the Amazon
so
umbrella,
like,
but
the
Lulu can go through it as well, and I go through Lulu. And,
okay, it's like the Threadless or something. You just like upload the content, they take care of everything else? Or
yeah, I mean, there's hoops. Like, it has to be within certain formats,
okay.
And there are hoops, but
okay.
It's doable.
All right, well, yeah. I didn't know that 5 minutes ago, so I'm learning something. Oh, there's a monkey with glasses.
Darwin?
Yes, it's adorable. It's way less adorable once you read the story, but it's
Yes, it features a monkey named Darwin, because I am an author of great subtlety. So,
who did the artwork?
Kay Kirsch, who is a local storyteller / cartoonist. Hmm. So,
So when it comes to writing an assembly of short stories like this, do you find that people tend to have one particular favorite, or is it? I don't know. Like, I'm as somebody who writes a lot of little short stories. Yeah. One of the things that I am most worried about is that people will like one or two of them, and then like. You won't have this problem, I'm sure, but I personally am concerned that they will not like the rest of them enough that they will fucking despise the overall collection, despite it having, that they will wish that there was a book that just had this, like, one or two stories.
But I mean, that's like how records work, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, some people will buy records because it's got one good song on it and the rest is just kind of shit.
Yeah, the one track that they've been hearing on the radio once an hour, Thank You, Paola.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so is that, like,
I'll say,
you're incredibly talented, so you have a lot less...
Oh my god, just start sucking a dick, seriously.
If I could reach over this bar, I fucking would.
Oh my god.
But yes, I mean, a lot of these are stories that I performed solo for a while before like rewriting and building them into this form. So they're definitely like, you know, I had my launch party the other week and I was reading them and it's like,
sort of
some of these really
tested.
Hit for this audience and some of these really don't hit for this particular audience. So, like,
I feel like that sums up your work pretty much across the board.
You probably experienced this performing it, I'm sure, for the single-digit audiences we did it for.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, some of it really hit for me, and some of it didn't. I'm just... mostly the parts that I was involved with. I'm not going to tell you if those are the ones that hit or not.
But yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't know. It's... I have no good answer to that problem, but yes.
Seems like having performed these things and having worked on them, I'm guessing, like, in translating them from reading them live to putting them down in a format that is designed to be read instead of heard.
Right.
That you've probably had a little more time to sort of incubate them, and that you've choosing between, like, if you have 10 stories, picking the 7 that seem to hit most, that may actually be a much better way to do that.
Hey, I mean, here's the thing. It actually, it's great and it's not. And this is something I think you're all live performers, so I think you'll all appreciate this. The weirdness of going from, like, performing jokes for an audience and then writing them down so they, like, make sense on a page is a really non-intuitive
thing. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the... Yeah, it's...
Especially during the kind of comedy that we usually do.
Wait, we do comedy?
Vilification insults do not look funny written down.
You don't do vil anymore. Shut your horn off.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and on the plus side, yours didn't look funny performed either.
Also very true. Also very true. It's absolutely true. The performance is 90% of that. And that's what I always taught people, was performing the joke was 90% of it. I don't know if I could write comedy because I have focused virtually everything that I have ever done on performing.
Right.
That. So, like, the writing, the idea of writing comedy for me is nope.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things in Fearless is anybody can try things that they want to try out, you know, if you've never written before, you can try that. And I go, I could... But nope.
So you should, because it scares you.
No, it's not that it scares me. I know I would suck at it. I'm perfectly willing to try things that scare me.
All right.
Fearless
5. Next Fearless 5.
No.
You submit something because nobody's going to vote for it anyway.
But I know it's shit because I will write a page. I will write a page and it will not be funny and that'll be all I've got.
You're doing it.
No,
You're doing it.
Except I'm not.
Except that you are. Except I'm going to talk to your kids and get them to convince you to do it.
I mean, my kids would write something funny.
So far, on the podcast, Jenna's track record for getting Salsa to do things that he's casually mentioned is pretty fucking good.
Also, pretty good because I've been happy to try those things, even though it terrified me.
Yeah.
Stripping on stage fucking terrified me. I still did it because I thought I could still make it funny.
Why did I convince him
I don't know. But I've tried to write in the past and I...
Now I've got She Blinded Me with
thing,
Science.
The thing that I know about myself in writing is I am a very literal writer. Like, I write with zero frills. I go... Person walked in, did a thing, walked out. Like, there is
But that's kind of the Hemingway thing.
There's no adjectives. There is no, like, metaphor. There's nothing. It's fucking, this is the thing that happened. Mm-hmm. No decoration. Boom. Done. And then I look at it and go, that's crap.
But this is the thing, the first play I wrote and produced, because I'd written plays for other companies and stuff, but the... You know, I was so dedicated to the idea of working the material and polishing it up and making it really sharp. And, you know, we broke it down into self-contained sketches and toured them, and they got really polished and really sharp. But then when you assembled them as a play, it was completely incoherent in terms of, like, recognizable character arcs or a satisfying plot. Or, like, the individual jokes were funny, but, like, sitting through this as a two-act... It made no sense, and that's a big part of the challenge of something like that. Where, again, doing these as individual stories, I know every individual chapter works when I personally stand up in front of an audience and do it.
Yeah,
But in terms of putting this together as a novella with a beginning, middle, and end that someone's going to sit and read through is a completely different experience.
Because you have no control over what they hear in their heads. And especially if they know you, maybe they've got your voice and your like your tone and your timing and that kind of stuff. But like I can imagine if somebody doesn't, if they haven't attended one of your shows and they're enjoying this book, that it is a completely different experience for them.
There's definitely a way to do. I mean, there's the Douglas Adams and Terry Pratchett's of the world who do write funny, self-contained, coherent novels.
I just reread Good Omens, and the balance there is amazing.
One of my favorite humorists growing up was Pat McManus.
Yeah.
And he wrote, 10-page short stories.
Yeah.
And then you would buy books of these 10-page short stories, but they were all these 10-page short stories. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. That is not my strength.
Yeah.
And everybody has things that they are good at and things that they are not good at, and I have tried many things in Fearless that I am good at and not good at.
It's awesome.
This is not my strength. And I don't want to.
I will try long form improv again.
I don't.
If you try writing,
I don't care.
The Lacey gauntlet has been thrown.
Nothing about me is lazy.
You're not getting me. I'm not scared of it. I'm not going to do it because it's not.
I don't
be good.
Think I'm good at long form improv.
Well, then don't do it.
What? Yes, that's the company motto.
Is she afraid to do it?
I mean, a little bit, because I don't think I'm good at it.
Well, anyway. What I'm saying is, I have your first book, and it was amazing.
I don't have your first book, and it was mediocre at best. Look, I was a welfare mom. I'm just saying, like...
You were probably not in the target
audience. I was not the target audience for that book. I'm glad we can hang out.
She wasn't even the Walmart audience for that book.
Which you'd think is a welfare mom.
She was like the Goodwill audience for that book. You had to dig on a lot of copies of Left Behind in order to find that shit.
I enjoyed the.
I just threw up a little in my mouth. Yeah. Okay.
I enjoyed the
satire. Probably that fine corn whiskey you're having.
The first one, by the way, was Indecision Now.
Yeah.
A libertarian rant.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Which was, you wrote that, what, 3 years ago?
About three, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was more than that. That was 4 years ago.
No, it was our launch party was Tax Day 2015.
Now, I remember it being around the time when you could still laugh at politics.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it has
in a galaxy really far away.
No, I've had this weird thing with it because I've been a political comic for some time. But I had this whole thing of, because I first started writing political comedy during the Obama years as a libertarian, and of course my audience is largely left, and it largely worked out at that time because of the common enemy thing of like we could both sort of poke fun at the Republican establishment,
and then
like, you know, the Obama years started and I found it was a lot more difficult, you know, because people were more resistant to the, like, and then I thought, oh, Trump got elected. Well, that's terrible. But at least we'll have the common enemy again. But wow, it has not played out that way.
No. I remember when Trump got elected, a lot of comedians were like, well, there will be fodder. And now they're all just like, that's just sad.
Yeah, like, we have a common enemy, but it's like Jason Voorhees.
I actually made up this joke today. It's... We have made Poe's law the law.
Yeah.
Like, it's you laugh and you go, ha ha ha. Shit, he's right.
We've slit our wrists with Heinlein's razor.
No. But Occam's razor?
No.
Oh.
Hanlon's. Hanlon's razor.
Okay.
Yep.
Heinlein's razor.
That's a very different razor.
Yeah. So. No, but. But yeah,
there can be only one.
It's a laser grid.
But it was just like we have literally made Poe's law the law of the land. It's we have gone so far into satire that we don't even realize it's satire anymore because it's unfortunately not.
I read a thing about The Simpsons. Did you hear
the Simpsons?
The Simpsons.
Oh, okay.
I've been drinking corn whiskey, please. I apologize for my lack of
pronunciation. Sure if you had said symptoms or Simpsons.
Simpsons.
Okay.
The Simpsons started off as a very satirical thing. You've got
from Tracy Ullman show, yeah.
Yeah, the fat bald man being shitty to his kids, and that's satirical. Only it became less and less satirical as the show went on. And they had to actually start finding moments of honesty within it. Like, like actual, like, no, okay, don't actually be shitty to your kids. Like, yeah. And I kind of feel like that's where we are with politics now.
Yeah.
This is the Simpson era.
It's definitely moments of honesty that we're having.
I feel like we're in that in-between stage, actually. Like, yeah.
See, this is no longer a political climate we can laugh at. I feel tired just now.
No, it's because no matter what joke you make, it's happening.
It's actually happening.
Like there, you cannot parody it anymore. It just is. We are in the parody. Ah,
you guys.
I'll also say it's a sense I have with the. I've definitely been teetering on the edge, as many of us are, of, should I just get the fuck off of social media? Like,
right. Or out of America? Like,
but the thing I'm saying about the social media thing is that, wow, I want to stay connected to it because I want to know what people are saying.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, but is this just giving me a horribly skewed perspective of what people are actually saying? Mm-hmm. Because what I'm actually seeing are, you know, the 24 people on my Facebook feed who sit in front of the internet and share every news article.
I'm right here. Jesus Christ. God.
Here is some genuine advice. Honest advice.
Yeah, yeah.
By all means, stay on social media, do whatever you want to, but I will say, go to two news organizations.
Yeah.
Go to BBC. And go to Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
Because those two news organizations are going to show you what's going on from a outsider's, no skin in the game perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as honestly, especially Al Jazeera. Yeah. Al Jazeera, okay. You are going to get some really honest, like, this is what is going on.
I mean, that one does sound a little 9/11-y.
I was about to say, isn't that a terrorist newspaper? Or is that one of those jokes
we can't make anymore because of the new reality we live in?
But I think a lot of, but honestly, I think a lot of people have that reaction. They go, Al Jazeera, isn't that Iraqi news organization? But legitimately, they look at the situation and they go, this is, we have no skin in the game. This is what's happening. And we're going to get through all of that. All of that, you know, ratings nonsense that you know, I work for news right now, you know.
I had to get that was the other reason that I had to fucking leave, is I could not look at it anymore.
Seriously, when I worked there, because I also used to work at their, work there like ages.
Everybody has worked at this place at one point.
The place we cannot name, but it is an internet news organization.
So Jenna had a job like that once.
I still have the coffee mug. No, but when I worked there, like for a while, I used to keep up with the news that we were producing, sharing, whatever. And then I just stopped. Because the option was stop or go insane.
Yeah.
And people would ask me, like, well, didn't you read about the news, blah, 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 blah? And I'm like, I was busy doing my job as a sales programmer. I can tell you about Al's roofing company if you would like, but
But the other thing is when a news story does come over, yes, I read 20 different versions of it.
Yeah.
Because all of our clients wrote a different viewpoint on it. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them was bitching and moaning because their competitor across the street got their story out 30 seconds faster than they did. Man, and that's what news is. It's not about the content. It's about the fact that we got our story out 15 seconds earlier than our competitor. Yeah. And that's all that matters. And so that... And which,
you're gonna lose your job,
which is
salsa.
Why, by the way, news. Well, which is why I've never said the name of the place. Which is why, by the way, those stories are always full of fucking typos.
Well, on the plus side, if you do say the name of the place, I'm sure it'll fucking change in a month anyway. Yeah. So there's that.
But anyway, no, it's and that really has. Which is why I do go to Al Jazeera and BBC for most of my news, is because I go, they go, this is what's actually happening. Yeah. And they do not have any of that scare bullshit. They do not have any of that left, we won, and they do not have any of, they're liars. It's just,
will eating celery give you cancer?
Well, when it's not.
Watch our
just...
in-depth report at 11.
Also, whenever there's a question in a news story, the answer is no. Yeah.
And, and I mean, it's not even just, like, the nakedly obvious sort of partisanship of it. It's also, like, the disproportionate attention that is paid to so many different... I mean, like, the obvious thing is Trump's Twitter feed, which is what the news just seems to be fucking about.
That is all
there are a lot of things going on in the world other than what this 70-year-old man is tweeting on the toilet.
20 minutes out of the entire newscast is about what he wrote in a tweet.
No.
Fucking I don't care.
Well, you see, you get there 2 hours later than I used to. If we had... I mean, CNN is closer to... better... Then I gotta qualify the shit out of it now. But no, it's
right.
I let's say I would rather watch CNN than some other options. So I that would be on in the morning, and they would be like such and such tweet. What do we think this tweet means? Well, let's break it down word by word. Let's get a team of 5 experts to discuss each word. Like, you caught 20 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
I caught the preceding 2 hours of them discussing it before our supervisor would switch over to baseball, and I would just breathe a sigh of relief.
And then it would be the baseball channel in which they're not even talking about baseball. They're fucking playing charades.
I'm fine with that. Like, I'm
seriously, to be fair, the charades have more content than the Trump tweets.
No shit. Seriously. News?
I would say it's one big charade. That's...
Yeah.
My wife and I, the entire time we've been married, have never had cable, and we never fucking cared.
Right.
Because, holy shit, there is nothing but crap on TV. Netflix has way...
Philip, I feel like you had a thing to say.
Yeah, anyway. You, our guest.
Right?
I do keep finding myself playing the mental experiment of what... Mm-hmm. What our view of this presidency would look like if it was exactly the same, but just with the Twitter feed removed. Because it's still like a terrible presidency.
It's like Garfield minus Garfield.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Really good a comic strip.
But our perception of it is so colored.
Oh, somebody
by the
needs
constant...
to write that.
No, somebody did.
No.
Not
the Garfield thing.
Oh.
The alternate
Trump,
reality.
Trump minus Twitter.
Trump minus Twitter.
Because, I mean, he
read
personally...
The fuck out of that while I was masturbating.
He personally is not
to Raymond
doing
Burr.
Much in the way that, like, Mitch McConnell or,
right.
you know, the actual legislative movers are doing things. Yeah. He's just constantly talking, and we're just constantly looking at that.
And listening, yeah.
Yes. As if he was, you know, the leader of one of the superpowers.
Well, and I love the conversation,
Earth.
Like, is this a legitimate way for the president to communicate? And then they discuss it for fucking 5 hours. Well, it definitely got the message out. Shit.
I legitimately have...
I've been there, James. It's fine. It's fine.
This is...
You'll get over it.
This is going to sound... This is going to sound... but I actually...
Oh, shit.
So, Roosevelt... Was it Roosevelt? Brought forth the fireside chats.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was a brand new way for the president to speak directly to the American people. And Twitter is the new fireside chat.
Yes.
No. And but the only problem is The only problem is Trump happened to be the first president to implement it.
If it wasn't a shitty president, it would be
the new fireside chat. It would be the way for the president to address the American people directly.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but yes, you're right.
NASA discovered
that frogs can throw up.
That is the new way that the president communicates with the people.
They inject their entire stomach and scrape it clean.
Unfortunately,
I just did that. Trump.
Yeah, my big revelation was, I've been to the Smithsonian a couple of times and realizing that, wow, in a couple of years, I'm going to walk through there and they're going to have, you know, where they had like Washington's letters and Nixon's recorded tapes, and they are going to have a scroll of Trump's Twitter feed as an exhibit there part of our national history.
You're assuming that we'll survive it. That's very charitable of you.
Wow. We should take a break. We should take a break. All right, we'll be back right after this. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Two cows salsa, on this. Get salsa, Moss Cow and Paws Cow.
You're fired.
Look, Moss Cow was Russian. All the way. And we're back.
No.
I'm Salsa.
No.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
Yay!
Classing up the place. All right.
Oh, my God.
So I was
flipping through this book, by the way. A thank you spot at the back here.
Weird.
There's a name back here that I do not believe belongs back here. A Matt Alex.
May he rest in peace.
Never heard of him.
Also a Jenna Young.
Never heard of him.
I'm done.
So, we are on our third ball? Buzz balls.
Buzz ball.
Is it a problem if one of your balls is bigger than the other two?
Which one is this, James?
This is the apple meatini or something.
Forbidden apple.
Forbidden apple.
Ooh, right. I'm super excited. I'm
about to gain knowledge of good and evil.
Oh, hey.
Hey, I've got a verdict. I've got a verdict for James here.
Oh,
it is
green.
It is green.
Yes.
Are they bro bonding right now?
They are going through the same mental connection.
I hate this.
All right,
please,
ladies and gentlemen.
Okay,
ladies and gentlemen. If what we have been saying this entire time has given you a headache, then you really need to pep yourself up with a little bit of True Stone Coffee. True Stone Coffee. You can get it at Can Can Wonderland or directly to your front door. Hey, what's that? You can have a tiny bit of Can Can Wonderland brought to your front door they both have True Stone Coffee.
Yeah.
So go to True Stone Coffee. TrueStoneCoffee.com. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. TrueStoneCoffee.com.
And use the promo code
APROPOS!
But it's spelled apropos.
I have not missed that at all. And you can get 10% off of your order. And you already know all of the shit that they sell, so I won't go into it.
Yeah.
And that is a thing.
Yeah. True Stone Coffee. We had the sexiest
I was not here, so I immediately made it.
I need to go listen, because it was...
Not only do I approve of the frontier spirit that is rarely seen, but our children got to see some prospector gibberish.
Wow. Okay.
Authentic prospector gibberish. Don't... Fucking skimp.
Another thing I'm going to hit on really quickly here.
Not it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
James.
Ladies.
So James has been here for, what, 2-3 months?
More than that, I think.
Really? It's been since Fringe.
Pre-Fringe, I thought.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So it's been...
Yeah.
It's been since, right? August.
It's been, like, 4 or 5 months, yo.
So a while.
It's been a bit.
So with James coming to the show, obviously things have changed up a little bit under new management.
I'm sorry, and you're welcome.
You know, you're welcome. The show has changed tonally slightly.
It's a lot more poop talk.
Well, I mean, just everything is slightly different as you would expect. And ladies and gentlemen, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
This is
actually sincere.
No, this is absolutely sincere. I spoke with Jenna and James, and we talked about this a little bit, and we just kind of want to get a feel for what you guys think. Do you like the direction the show is going? Because we are trying a few different things. We're trying to, you know, see what works for us to make the show grow.
Oh, there's a note here from M. Alex. So, the new guy sucks.
So I don't know if you remember that website that was
mine
going around.
Mine says that the new guy's better than both of us. So.
I know. But you remember around social media a few months ago, they had that say at...
Dot me.
Which was you could submit anonymous feedback to people and tell them how amazing they are, or you dress terribly, or whatever. But it was completely anonymous. So we have created one for AON Podcast. So go to sayat.me/AON Podcast. And I will also post this link in both the show notes and on our Facebook page. And we are looking for honest, legitimate, like, feedback.
Yeah,
no bits.
We love your bits. I mean that in every sense.
I love your
possible.
Bits too.
We'll gently cradle and caress them.
Yeah, but this is not the place for them.
Yeah,
much like children's television or Pee Wee's Playhouse.
No, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
but
I am accurate.
Right.
And we didn't get to see all the wishes he made from Jami.
But in all seriousness, we do want to know, you know, do you like what things do you like? What things do you don't like? Do I interrupt Jenna way too much? Because I used to do that a lot more, and I've been working on that. I've been working on that, but if I'm still doing it too much, let me know. If you think James's stories go on way too fucking long, spoiler, awkward. They do.
Yeah. I was going to say,
there are some things we might actually already know that we're like,
Exactly. But we want to know the things that we aren't aware of. We want to know, is there a segment that isn't working? Is the format, are these way too long? Should we shorten them? Fast Five go away forever and you fucking hate it? Is the color scheme on the website fucking atrocious? Like, anything small or big, you know, just honestly, we legitimately want to know those things that you have noticed that would probably, because we are too close to it, we don't realize.
Yeah, and we want to actually be good for our listeners, which... I mean, mostly it's us jerking off, but every once in a while we think of you, so... Yeah.
Well, jerking off? Yeah.
Well, yeah, after we jerk off, we go Simba.
But go, anyway, Web, go.
I mean,
we really do care.
We legitimately, honestly want to hear your feedback. If it is one of those brutal, honest truths, try to be gentle.
Spit on it first.
Yeah, but...
You don't have to be a dick about it, like...
I mean, constructive, legitimately constructive criticism is what we are looking for. Whether that be please get rid of this, or we really, really love this thing that you.
Well, it's been nice working
with
you.
And please,
guys.
Honestly, I do want to say, give the complimentary feedback too, like if there is any. But give that too, because if all we're hearing is the this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, you suck, we're gonna change things radically. Possibly.
Yep.
And
by change things radically, we mean kill ourselves.
Like, I mean that, or maybe edit the shows. I don't know.
Don't make promises we can't keep.
Right,
let's stick with killing ourselves.
But we want to know the positive stuff too, because we want to be able to continue doing those things that you enjoy.
So yeah, there is that. Like I said, I will post that on our show notes and on Facebook, and then you can go and leave that feedback.
Yes.
Hey, y'all, how about a Fast Five?
Fast Five. We haven't done one of those in like a few weeks.
I've heard about this.
We did a fun game last week. The week before, I actually came up with a thing. I don't know if you actually listened to that episode. You probably
did. I haven't gotten around to it, good. Honestly.
Don't. Now it has nothing to do with you.
Reverse psychology got me again.
Wait, hold on. No, it didn't.
Oh, shit. Fuck. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. So for those of you who do not know, this is how this works. What we do is we open two emails from the listener. That's right, you, the listener. The first one has nothing but five A or B choices. All we know is the choices. We don't know what the context is, and we still have to choose which one we prefer. Then we open the second email and we go, oh, this is what those meant, and we find out if we really, really regret our decisions. This time around, we have a Halloween Fast Five. Woo! A little bit late. Yay. I've been gone. Fuck you. This one comes to us from Captain Monkey Butt.
Oh, hey.
Yay, Captain Monkey Butt.
Yay. So, question number one. Hocus Pocus or Monster Squad?
Oh, Jesus.
Shit.
You know what? I gotta go Hocus Pocus. Because chicks, yo.
Yeah.
But they're so good.
I didn't get to watch Monster Squad until much later in life.
Well, Monster Squad came out later.
Well, no. I mean, like... 2 years ago.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Really later in the...
Yeah. Yes.
No, Hocus Pocus, because chicks, and quite frankly, because older chicks, honestly, we don't get enough of those in the scene overall. They were really good at portraying what it was that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
What they were doing was shit, but they were really fucking good at it.
Is that Thora Birch in that movie?
Which one? One Hocus of the witches?
No. The sister.
One of the witches?
No.
Oh, what?
In Hocus Pocus, the main girl. The main character.
I don't remember.
Okay.
So I got to go with Monster Squad just because by that I'm thinking of the game within a game in the early 90s graphic adventure, The Adventures of Willy Beamish. So.
Oh,
damn, you just made it difficult.
Damn it.
Wolfman's got nards.
Look, I'm only invisible if I'm naked. And nobody's looking at me.
Yeah.
Two ends, asshole.
No, no, you're right. I gotta go with Hocus Pocus on this one.
Yeah. The zombie in that, the guy who played the zombie that had his mouth sewn shut, so he was fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, that was really good.
Was that the same guy that was Abe Sapien and a number of other countries?
I doubt it.
Doug Jones? Question mark.
Sure.
Okay. His physicality in that was amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Thor Birch.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Hey. Well done.
Well done. All right. Question number two.
All right.
Two.
Halloween or Christmas?
Yeah, I was gonna say,
is that a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie? That's a very good
that
one.
Is a good question.
Somewhat side note, I've decided that I'm going to do a Sally cosplay for Convergence.
Awesome. I love it.
It'll be amazing because I'm super short.
So
and have long red hair. Halloween.
I think it's a Halloween. No, I think it's a Christmas movie.
I usually watch it around Festivus, so I'm going to go Crimbo.
Okay.
Am I misunderstanding the question? Halloween or Christmas?
Halloween or Christmas.
That's it? We're assuming the context. We're heavily assuming the context.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know the context. Unwisely on my part, because I'm promoting a Christmas book, I have to say my heart is with Halloween.
Right.
And that's fine.
I mean, shit.
Halloween, October is my favorite month, so...
Wait. I'm going to have to change mine to Christmas, because what's the favorite show you've ever done about a holiday?
Boom.
You're welcome,
was
fucker.
Was it Klingon Christmas Carol?
It was Klingon Christmas Carol, actually. I don't get a lot of Halloween specials, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three.
No one's ever given me a combination Halloween and birthday gift. All right.
We should get through these because James has to get to work at some point. Question number three, werewolf or vampire?
Werewolf. Because Teen Wolf.
Oh, my God.
I like vampires.
With Michael J. Fox?
I like
fucking amazing.
Until vampires got fucking just ruined in the past decade or so,
you know
I'm
what?
Totally a vampire guy.
They're still
underworld. Dracula is one of those movies that or books that legitimately was a scary book.
It is
book.
Yeah.
Dracula's fucking a fucking scary Dracula. Book. Yeah.
You can get it for free on Google Play, by the way, if you've never read it.
No, absolutely. And the thing is if you've never read the book, if you've only seen the movies, you do not fucking know what you're talking about. Because the book is fucking
glue. I'm going to whop you on this bullshit, yo.
Yeah.
I'm going to go vampire because of Elizabeth Bathory.
Awesome. Ooh. A lot of virgins, yo. Yeah.
Why
do you think I look so young?
The bloody baroness.
I've
always wanted to portray her, by the way. I think I'd be phenomenal. Huh. She was rumored to be short.
You could do a group cosplay with your daughter. Like,
no.
Like, paint.
No.
Cut line.
No.
Incorrect.
The Ripley's.
You are wrong.
She could have a little foam bathtub around her.
Yeah.
The Ripley's, believe
Maybe.
It or not.
No.
The Ripley's, believe it or not, in Wisconsin Dells, which I have performed at, has secret rooms that when you find, and one of them has like an Elizabeth Bathory. Like,
you don't even know.
I thought she was perimenopausal, but I heard that egg drop.
No, it's really cool because they tell you at the beginning there are a few hidden rooms and there's one place where you go into this area and like there's a fireplace and if you crawl into the fireplace there's like behind the wall and up a winding staircase into like the upper floor and they've got like a vampire hunter's kit and they have like carved like this wonderfully like scrimshawed human skull and then they have like this Elizabeth Bathory like
different scrimshaw
display.
I got it. I don't care.
Vampire.
This is great because I've been binging classic horror movies this week. I just saw The Wolfman for the first time last night.
Really? How was that?
Which was pretty great.
Right.
What about Wolf Cop?
I have not seen Wolf Cop.
I fucking recommend it.
But
it's real bad.
I will say, I'll dive onto my love for vampires, but I will say that this morning I finished The Cat People, which knocked me out as a great fucking classic horror movie.
Okay, we will accept a caveat. All right.
Yeah.
Question number four. Scary or funny? This one's easy for me, funny. Funny. I'm not into scary shit, honestly.
Funny movies got me into scary movies.
Yeah, right.
I did not love scary movies before Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Oh my God.
But I watched Shaun of the Dead because it's funny.
But it is legitimately scary.
No, it is legitimately scary. And if it wasn't funny, I wouldn't watch it.
It made it possible for me to watch more things.
Here's the problem, and this is really gonna suck as a confession, but I hold scary movies to way higher standards. I want to actually be scared. And I've had a lot of shit happen to me over the years, you guys. So good fucking luck. The psychological horror is what will get me. The jump scares, the blood, the whatever. Like, none of that stuff really does it for me.
You should see Hard Candy.
Whoa.
Yeah, right. I'm in. But... I gotta say, I hold horror to higher standards, because comedy's for everybody, yo, and like that's like if there's one thing Bill taught me, it's that the fart joke is a universal joke.
I do laugh at a fart joke,
right?
Cupboard is see,
yes.
Fart cupboard.
Have you heard about the fart cupboard?
I have not heard.
We will tell you about fart cupboard later.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Again, we need to finish
two quick
this up.
Things. This is a terrible choice for me to have to make. I think I will skew funny, but that's not an easy choice. And secondly, you need to see The Cat People. The more I listen to you talk, I'm now a missionary for this movie.
All right.
Oh God.
We will take that under advisement.
So, Cat People, Hard Candy. I'm going to go as in I believe it's harder to get done right.
All
right,
so Jenna's going scary? All right. Yeah.
I'll go funny.
Question number five. Full-sized one at a time or fun-sized in mass quantities? And this is simple. It's fun size in mass quantities.
Oh, my God. Because
then you get variety.
That's also, a
good point.
I kind of like to market myself as fun sized.
So. I mean, then you get variety.
Yeah. Multiple times so, fun size.
I'm going full size one at a time because I'm assuming in the scenario this is a fight to the death.
Oh, See, I was assuming it. Do you one refer to your penis? Sized
horse?
Yep, exactly.
Or 100. No, I did that wrong.
Yeah.
It's 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck.
James, is your penis full-sized one at a time or fun-sized in mass quantity?
It depends on the angle. I've got different...
I'm going fun-sized.
Do you have phalanges on your dick?
Full-sized?
Full-sized.
Full-sized. Jenna?
Fun-sized.
James?
I'm going to go full-sized.
Full-sized. All right.
Also, Dick Phalanges is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Question number one. Oh, I got to jump back and forth now. Fuck.
Oh.
Womp womp.
Fail. All right. Question number one.
We still love you.
What was question
Captain
number
Monkey
one?
Butt.
Hocus Pocus. Or,
oh, yes. Yeah, Hocus Pocus or
Mr. Lloyd's the Wall. Oh, yeah. That's
which movie would you rather watch on Halloween?
Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, no, Hocus Pocus. I don't feel like Monster Squad was really a
Halloween. All-year celebration.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like Hocus Pocus, though, definitely very solid Halloween.
Comment if you got the Willie Beamish reference, so I feel less alone in the universe.
Or not.
Nobody's going to comment.
I know.
Mostly because
I know this
nobody
is
listens
true.
To this shit. I don't know why you think this is promoting anything. But...
You know who's going to get that reference? You, when you listen to the episode later. And as a matter of fact, if you're anything like me, you're going to be listening, you're going to go like, ah, there's a funny Willie Beamish reference I can make right now. And then you go, fuck.
All right.
I totally did.
Question number two, Halloween or Christmas? Which holiday would you rather watch Nightmare Before
there
Christmas?
We go. Yes. Yes.
Oh my God, yay.
No, it's Christmas.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a Christmas movie.
I refuse to accept that that is an either or proposition.
That is the correct answer.
But
I have serious problems with that.
We have to choose A or B.
If I had to rank my movies, Gremlins gets Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Nightmare Before Christmas gets Halloween.
Question number three was vampire or werewolf? Werewolf or vampire, technically. Question number three, which do you think should have bigger fangs? And I would never send a Team Jacob, Team Edward question back. Thankfully, we did not assume you did.
No,
so
everybody, we thought better of you.
Which should have bigger fangs? The werewolf.
Probably the werewolf.
Yeah,
the werewolf
definitely.
Should have bigger fangs.
Vampires are about subtlety.
Yeah, it's it's about the seduction, whereas the vampires are fucking giant fucking fangs rip your throat out.
Oh,
werewolves,
sorry.
Yep. So,
yeah.
Agreed.
Like the huge bites out of the torso and mauled and
just
stuff.
Missing an entire chunk out of you.
Yeah. I could accept vampires having fangs that grow and emerge in the act of feeding on someone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But overall.
Like walrus tusks is what I want.
Like the movie Tusk, but with a little cape.
Oh my God, yes. Yes.
Question number four.
Okay.
Scary or funny? How do you carve your jack-o'-lantern faces?
Huh.
I have a tendency to go artistic. Whether it's scary or funny, it's not really a... I think the best one I ever did was a witch's face with the long flowing hair and the like, just the hair snippets in various bits.
It was real hair.
But it wasn't like an ugly witch. It was a beautiful witch. With kind of, you got to have the moon. You got to have the full moon thing going to help with the contrast. But I love being artistic with pumpkins because it's such a ridiculously wonderful medium.
Something I started a few years ago is I started doing silhouettes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did a Batman one a few years ago that every year comes back on my Facebook feed. And I go, that was fucking amazing.
Because
just this like brooding Batman silhouette. which and like the next year after that, I think I did.
I'm just hearing. The
I did. I did Wonder Woman this last year, and the year before I did. Darth Vader standing in front of one of those the big circular windows.
Sure.
Like
yeah,
just cool. Those are cool.
Like Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. So just like Jenna, I would go artsy.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go scary, because when I was little, some of my favorite pumpkins were done by a neighbor in the rural
gym
neighborhood where I lived. Aww. Different guy.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, may he rest in peace. The these pumpkins were amazing. It was one of the first times that I saw somebody carve into the surface, but not carve all the way through, and it was lit and fucking incredible. So, yeah. I'm gonna go scary. They were my favorite pumpkins to see when I was little.
And obviously, what you're really asking is genitalia or mutilated genitalia, and the answer is always going to be mutilated genitalia.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, all right.
Yes.
So no, that
ladies and gentlemen, feel better about it.
Question number 5: full size one at a time, or fun size in mass quantities? If money were not an issue, which would you rather give out to trick or treaters?
Oh,
fun size in mass quantities, because again, variety.
Here's the weird thing: you can give a bunch of those. You can give like 2 fistfuls of those fucking fun size candy bars, and you still won't be the legend that you are if you give them one full-size candy bar.
It is true.
They will fucking remember you for the rest of their lives if you give them one full-size fucking candy bar.
Okay, but I don't care about being a legend. I just want to fucking give kids candy.
I mean, I also want to give kids candy.
And as somebody getting candy, I want to get just...
This is growing increasingly euphemistic. We're all on an FBI watch list right now.
It is easy. Fair, if you weren't before...
euphemistics. Jenna, what are you saying?
Huh? I'm sticking with fun size.
Fun size?
Because I started euphemistic.
Now I want
I'm
fun size because I want to give children lots of little things.
There we go. So, all right. If you want to send in a Fast 5, please send 2 emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com.
Yay.
Please send 2 emails. Give them similar subject lines so that I know they go together. In the first one, put the A or B choices. And in the second one, repeat the A or B choices and then give the answers,
yes,
and we will go ahead. If you have never sent one in before, we will jump you to the top of the queue, and if you somehow manage to slip us a physical copy, we will obviously make sure that
just
gets
in
as soon as possible. We do take bribes. It's what we do.
You assume I wear underwear.
We are, yeah, exactly. We are, no, she...
I do not assume
no, he meant
such thing.
He meant on your guitar.
Yep.
Oh. I play violin.
Oh, okay. Is there a G-string?
There is a G-string on a violin.
There you
actually.
Go.
Yeah,
slip
and a mandolin.
Slip Fast 5 into Jenna's
G-string.
On the mandolin,
there's
2 G-strings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Okay.
The split.
Yeah. You've got options.
Person to Lynn.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very, very, very much to our guest, Philip Andrew-Bennett-Lowe, who has been, we have treated him with more disdain than we treat most guests, mostly because he's been here before,
that's
and
also
therefore
how we show love.
He knew what he was getting into. Thank you.
Let's pimp other shit before we pimp his shit again.
Okay, I was about to get there, but sure, we'll
okay.
do that.
And you started with thanking him, and usually I would thank him at the end while we were pimping
hey,
his stuff.
Him
I got an idea.
Out the door.
Oh,
did we tell, the story about you women-splaining me? Because that
we, I think we did. We can tell it again, though, because I fucking love that story.
We unfortunately don't have the time. We
God
need to get
damn
through
it.
This.
I'll write it down.
So anyway, so are we going to pimp our shit now? Cool. I have a couple things coming up. This Sunday at 7 p.m. at Kieran's Irish Pub, I'm doing the Encyclopedia Show. This week, month, whatever, we're talking about Holy Grails. So if you want to hear the one Christian left in the theater community talk about the Holy Grail, that'll be exciting. You should show up to that. And then Monday, December 11th, at 7 p.m. at the Phoenix Theater, I will be a part of the Monster Science Ensemble,
Woo!
Walk the Dinosaur.
Oh, yes.
I I'm still kind of curious as to what I'm going to come up with for that. So
I'm sure it'll be great.
It'll probably be dinosaur related.
Talk about troodons. No one talks about troodons.
Is that anything like Troa Barton?
Yeah, it's exactly Ooh. Like that.
Okay. and then I also just want to give a shout out. Klingon Christmas Carol has started, and you should go see that.
Woo!
Mounds Theater running most of this month. Done.
Yay!
Who else? What do you got, bitches?
Hey, you know what I have something? To pimp?
Huh?
Abso-fucking-lutely nothing. Do not know how I feel about that.
It's been like seriously almost a year since you've had shit all the time.
I honestly, I don't know how I feel about it. I really don't.
You know, take a month off.
So I'm a little weirded out by it, honestly.
Take a couple weeks off. You'll be fine. James.
I'm in a faux radio play version of A Christmas Carol. It's kind of fucking awesome. You see people stand up there and pretend like they're broadcasting on the radio, a good old-fashioned radio play version of A Christmas Carol. It's incredibly faithful to the original, and my co-actors are fucking awesome. The other performers are just incredible. And there's also live music on the same ticket.
Nice.
Choral performances, a really amazing guitarist and violinist. All of these things, come and see it. It is the 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Lakeville Performing Arts Center. It is at 7 p.m. on that Friday and Saturday, the 15th and 16th, and then at 2 p.m. the matinee on Sunday the 17th, which is my birthday, and I would consider it
Yay!
An excellent present. If
I'm
you were
be out
able
of town and I feel
to come
shitty.
And see
I feel so shitty.
This thing,
I feel shitty.
Not just because I'm in it, but because I feel like you will enjoy it. It is a present to me, but also yourself.
Yay!
So,
hey, I got a book, Get Thee Behind Me, Santa, on Yay! Amazon.
Woo!
If you are frantically looking for last minute Christmas presents,
oh God,
you know. I exist.
And again, we will be posting a link to those books and all of his other stuff.
I want
to
read
clarify,
the
don't buy him a copy.
Jenna wants
of it.
To read the warning.
Warning may contain mature language as well as immature and insensitive humor regarding genitalia, flatulence, regurgitation, sex, drugs, rock and roll, lies, videotape, duct tape, tapeworms, subversion of ethnic stereotypes. Fulfillment of ethnic stereotypes, hate culture, rape
Fucking
culture,
A.
ape culture, horticulture, and or a general posture of deep reverence for deep irreverence, not for the faint of stomach.
Hmm.
Or heart. I miss the heart. Delightful. There's no heart in this bullshit.
Delightful. Unless a disclaimer, more a features list.
All right.
Right.
Anything else? Cool. All right. That does another show. We did it, Kyle.
Yay!
Yay! Eat the fucking cake.
I okay. Take it away, Salsa.
Cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.